But today, before we start the Sermon on the Mount series, which will begin next week, and we'll go through the entirety, God willing, of the summer in the Sermon on the Mount, this will be our last sort of topical before we get into that series. And being here at different times throughout the week, as I was in this same sanctuary one day praying, I just had this strong reoccurring thought of this passage. Now, I had prepared a different passage, but I was putting both of them together, and up until the last minute, or the 11th hour, as we'll call it, I strongly feel that this is the passage. In fact, our copiers had some problems, so we don't have the normal bulletin printed out, and so it allowed me some wiggle room and some freedom to today look at Luke chapter 15, which is a well-known parable, which we often call the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. So that's what we're going to look at today in Luke chapter 15. And we'll look at it through the lens of the Father. Because what's being illustrated here is something that is amazing. And that would be the grace of God. The grace of God that's demonstrated by our Heavenly Father. And whether or not you have a father currently, whether they're still alive and well today or they have passed, maybe you never knew your father, maybe you had a strained relationship with your father, maybe you're very close to your father, regardless, you can know the everlasting Father through a relationship on believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way to get to the Father. And so with that being said, Jesus is speaking to a group of religious people known as the Pharisees. And there's a few parables that really go along with this one that are precursors to it. But we're going to look at the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. There's the lost sheep, the lost coin, but this is the most important because this has to do with the image bearer of God, the image bearer of the triune God. And the illustration here is given, and I'll pray and then we'll get into it. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, at least in what here in America we have coined Father's Day. But Lord, to know you, God, is to have an everlasting Father, one that will never leave us, never abandon us. You've given us that promise. So I pray if there's anybody listening today, either here in person, online, or maybe in the future through Facebook or YouTube or podcast, that you would bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's in that name that I pray. And all of God's family said, thank you. Before we get into it, officially, as I already mentioned, happy and blessed Father's Day to all of you, whether you're watching online or in person. And being a father in today's culture has been downplayed, degraded, undervalued, but allow me to say, as I already did prior to the 5 minutes of greeting or fellowship, according to God's word, it's being a father is highly esteemed. The father, as I already mentioned, is the leader of the home, the tip of the spear. They're commanded to protect, to provide, and lead. They're to set the example for their children. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, for I know him, this is speaking of Abraham, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Psalm 103, verse 13 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of your mouth. Those are some oracles of God. And I want to just read to you one thing before we get into it that I think you'll appreciate, that is very practical, that I found on social media. You know, social media can be used for good. On occasion, I find something good there. I think this is appropriate. What we think of fathers as we age. At the age of 5, dad knows everything. At 14, can't take dad seriously. At 18, what does dad know? At 23, I know more than dad. At 30, maybe I should ask dad about this. At 40, it's amazing how dad went through all this. At 45, dad has been right all along. At 50, if dad was there, I could have learned a lot. I thought that was very touching, relatable, and very applicable. And so keep those things in mind as we look at the grace of a father today. Luke chapter 15, picking up in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now, I just want to pause there, because if you understand the context that Jesus is using to illustrate this parable being an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, the inheritance is not to be given, particularly to the younger son, until the father has passed. So here, what's really happening, what Jesus is saying, is that this younger son is basically saying, Father, you're not very meaningful to me. You're pretty much dead to me. You don't mean anything to me at all. So he asks for his inheritance or the goods. Verse 13, and not so many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. I think this parable is so relatable because here we have a younger son. We don't know exactly how old, but certainly in his late teens, if not perhaps maybe early 20s in that day and time. And he's asking for the inheritance that belongs to him before his father passes. He decides to go off on his own. And I want you to think about the word journey, because that's what a walk with God is. It's a journey. It's not a race. There's mountains, there's valleys, there's plateaus. You just saw some of the graduates here. That's a mountain for them. That's an accomplishment. But certainly there's valleys. And what we need to remember as fathers and as mothers, as parents, is that it's a journey. And as you are on a journey, so is your son, so is your daughter, if you've been blessed enough to have one or more. And so we often forget about that, and we need to keep that in the forefront of our mind. And this particular son goes into a far country, as the scripture says, and he wasted what was given to him. Wasted those goods that the father given to him without questioning him with riotous living, partying basically. And verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want or lack. There will always be a lack. There will always be a famine in the world if you truly belong to the Father and you decide to leave his house. There'll always be a famine. You'll never be satisfied. You see, this parable is very personal to me because I've lived this parable. I've lived it. And I can tell you that if you decide to take as part of your journey and go into the world, a far country, Egypt, as the Bible would portray it as, and waste that grace, that mercy, that love, that compassion of the Father on riotous living, you can. You can. God has given you choice, says in the scriptures, choose this day whom you will serve. And you'll have to make a choice. God will have to become your God. It can't be your father's God. It can't be your mother's God. You'll have to make a choice. And here, this son, the youngest one, has decided, Dad, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be in your house anymore. I want to go try it the other way. I want to go on out on my own. I want to do my own thing. Just give me your money. See, this man has two masters. And God says no man can serve two masters. He'll love one and despise the other. And so this young man goes out and he thinks he knows it all. And he goes and he wastes all his money, wastes all his substance. And all of a sudden, guess what happens? A famine. There will always be a famine in your soul if you truly belong to the Father. There will always be a famine in your soul if you truly belong to the Father and you decide you want to leave the will of the Father. There's no better place you can be. There was an evangelist who once said this, and I love this phrase and I've adopted it. He said, I'd rather die in the will of God than live outside of it. I can relate to that. I pray you can too. I'd rather die in the will of God than live outside of it. And so this young man goes out and he parties and he leaves the Father's house and he continues. The mighty famine happens. He has nothing. Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And what does that citizen do? Send him into the fields to feed swine. What happens when you feed swine? You get really, really dirty. And that's what the world will do. You're just going to get dirty. Spiritually dirty. The Word of God clearly speaks about separation and sanctification. He said we are to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood, set apart for the Master's use. We're not to be like all the other nations. You're not to marry someone who knows not Christ. And so this young man is out there, and he's gotten so low, and the world has beaten him up so much that he literally is now feeding pigs. You see? You can go so far down the wrong road that you forget who you are. You start to think differently and even look differently and act differently. But the good news is coming. The good news is coming in the parable. It says verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine or the pigs did eat, but no man gave unto him. The world will eat you up and spit you out. It will. You will be chasing the wind. You will never be fulfilled. You will never be satisfied in anything other than being in your Father's house. Other than following Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. If you truly belong to the Father will never disown you. He has made a covenant. Jesus said, as many that come to me, I will not turn away. He has made a covenant. God does not break his promises or his covenant. If you have truly submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, if you are born again, born from above, God will not leave you. But you can, for part of your journey, decide you want to go out and try it your own way. And often, God the Father will watch from a distance. He'll watch. Why? Because Father knows best. But you know who really goes through the pain when that happens? Your earthly father and your earthly mother. That's who go through the pain. They bear the pain. They're the ones praying. They're the ones mourning. Because their son or their daughter has decided to go and join themselves to a citizen of another country. To go and just do whatever they want to do and act as if, well, they're kind of dead to them. We've seen this pain so many times in parents. So many times. Verse 17. Here comes the grace. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and even to spare, and I'm perishing, I'm dying with hunger. See, what happened here? What happened here is a revelation of grace. This younger son is having an unveiling, a revelation of grace. But what did it take to get there? It took the lowest of the low. It took him to be in a pig pen feeding the pigs. It took him to be amongst all that dirt to realize how good his Father really is. We're going to start the Sermon on the Mount next week, so here's a preview. The first beatitude, you should memorize it because it's the key to the rest. Blessed, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Until a person understands who they are apart from their Father, until a person understands their sinful, dirty, piggish state apart from the goodness of God and the grace of God, they will not come into the Father's house. But this younger son has a revelation of grace. At his lowest level, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's why I told you at the beginning, God hates pride. God opposes pride. He gives grace to the humble. As long as you think you're okay on your own, you'll never know the God I speak of that the scriptures speak of. Never. As long as you try to control your own life, your life will be out of control. My first pastor told me that. You know him, Scott Justice. Never forgot. He told me that about 30 years ago. Found it to be true. And so, goes on verse 18. He says, I will arise, this is the Son, and I will go to my Father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. There's contrition, there's brokenness, there's humility, there's repentance. God will never despise that. It says, a broken and contrite heart I do not despise. No, why? Because he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captive free. He came to heal the blind. He came to stop the issue of blood the woman had for 12 years. That's what he came for. And that's what Jesus is explaining right now to these religious Pharisees who don't understand how God could be so good. Because the fact is they don't know God. They're separated from God. They're a Pharisee. That's what it means. They're self-righteous. You will never inherit the kingdom of heaven based upon your righteousness. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. It's understanding what God has done, what Jesus has demonstrated, what God has demonstrated for you that leads you to the Father's house, that leads you to the cross, and allows you entrance through the door to enter into the kingdom of heaven. First, he says, I've sinned against God. Vertical. God, I've sinned against you. And now I've even sinned against my earthly father. You see, that's complete repentance. Complete repentance, contrition, brokenness, humility of heart. It says, I'm not worthy. That's a key phrase. When you understand you are not worthy, you are being prepared or you are ready to receive grace. When you realize you are not worthy, you are ready to receive the grace of God. No good work, no religious system. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, the Word of God says. When you realize, God, I'm not worthy, and it comes from the depths of your heart, you're ready to receive grace. You're ready. So here's what he does. Reconciliation, verse 20. And he arose and he came to his father. And I love this. I absolutely love this next part. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Do you know what that means? The father was waiting. The father was praying. He never gave up on this son. Why? Because he's the father. Never. Never gave up. You know, I find myself praying a lot as my head is laid upon my pillow at night. And my oldest children drive and still have a curfew to some extent. And I find myself praying more at that time probably than any other time, anticipating their return. And then I hear this certain type of music in the driveway, and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. He's home. But you see, that's how it is for a father. That's how it is for a parent. There's this anticipation. There's this hope. There's this expectancy that your son, your daughter will return. And the same is spiritually. If you have a prodigal son or your prodigal daughter, you need to have hope, like I talked about. There has to be this heavenly expectation, like this father is demonstrating. He's waiting to see this son that he loves. He never stopped being his father. He's waiting. And then he sees him. Can you imagine that moment? Can you imagine that moment as a father? Son says, "Dad, give me, you're dead to me. I want to do my own thing." Wastes all his life. He's in a pig pen. Dad doesn't know any of this, but he's been praying. He's been waiting. And now he sees his son. Maybe his son walked like him. Maybe he just saw a couple features on his face, but it says it's at a great way off, he sees him. What does he do? It says his father saw him and had compassion, that's love with action, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now let me explain to you culture of that day. This is an older man. He has a long robe on, tunic. You don't run. You don't run with those on. That's not culturally acceptable. But it's my son. But it's my son. You see, when push comes to shove, all that stuff fades away when it's your son, when it's your daughter. That all fades away. All the rules, all the policies, all the religion, that all fades away because what matters is the son. He's my son. I don't care what people think. I'm going to run to him. I'm going to grab him. I'm going to embrace him. I'm going to kiss him. You see? A couple weeks ago, I know my friend Jack had asked. I asked Tom. I said, "Tom, did anybody say I had to leave early?" I understand I'm the pastor, but I had to leave early. I had a good reason. So I walked out after I preached and went. And my daughter, who was about to turn 8, she had her first dance recital. And of course, it's around this time. So I walked out and I went into what I call the Bat Cave, my office with the bat, got the Batmobile right next to the door. So I got it and I get in and I'm looking the text and my wife's like, "Hey, honey, it's too late. Don't worry about it. I love you." And I'm in the car and I'm racing, man. I'm racing to get there. And I broke every law. I did. I sped. I turned left on red. I broke it all. I'm being honest with you. And I get there. I parked illegally, I think. None of it mattered to me. I said, "It's okay." I thought, "If 100, I'll pay the fine, whatever it is." And I'm going inside. And there's this guy, I go, "Where's the recital? Where's the recital?" He goes, "Over here." And there's these two ladies. And they go, "Do you have your ticket?" I go, "I don't know. My daughter's about to go on. I don't know." If they go, "Go in, go in." And it's dark. And I'm standing in the back. And my wife sees me. And man, I had about 3 minutes to spare. And I got to see that her last dance. And it was a well-known Italian song. So. And the tears came down my eyes as I thought about my father, who was now passed. Why do I tell you this? None of the rules matter. None of it matters when it comes to the most important thing in the eyes of the Father, and that's his children. That's the most important thing. And that's what the Pharisees don't get. They don't understand it because they know not God. To them, the policy is more important than the person. To them, the letter of the law that kills is more important than the spirit of the law. That Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give unto thee, love one another as I have loved you." That one wasn't written. That one was God-breathed by Jesus Christ himself. I'm not telling you to be lawless, by the way. I'm not telling you to make left turns on red. I'm not telling you to speed. I'm not telling you to do any of the things I did that day. That's not a regular practice of mine. My wife will tell you, I drive like an older person, okay? But my point is that I thought of my daughter saying, "Daddy, did you see my dance?" That's what I thought of, okay? Just like this father who could see his son from a great way off, and it didn't matter you weren't supposed to run. He did. He did more than that. fell on his neck. He kissed him. And he continues. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy, there it is again, to be called my son. Now listen to this, and I want to encourage you as a father, as a mother, as a parent, as a grandpa, I want to encourage you in this today. If there's anything I pray you take away from this, look at the grace that's demonstrated here. Look at the grace that's demonstrated from this father here. Understand what the son did. Everything bad you can possibly imagine. Everything. And none of that mattered. Here's what matters. Listen to what the father does. But the father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe. That's his robe, by the way. The best robe would be the father's robe. Said, put my righteousness upon him. Give him the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand to signify he's always and still is my son. Until the end, even eternally, he's my son. Put the ring on his finger. Shoes on his feet. See, this man had gone so far, he doesn't have shoes. Who didn't wear shoes? Slaves. And the father says, you're not my slave, you're my son. You will always be my son. You blow up my house, you'll be my son. You bomb my car, you'll be my son. No matter what, you are my son. This is a picture of grace. This is what Jesus is trying to demonstrate to the religious people of its time. That the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so, one more evidence of grace. Verse 23 says, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. It was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Now, the fatted calf had to be prepared. To what? To get it fat. Took months to do that. That'd be like saying, Dad, we're going to have the best steak you could ever have, best cut, most expensive today. We're going to grill out today because it's Father's Day. And this father says, get the fatted calf for this special celebration. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this moment to demonstrate the grace of God to this son of mine who counted me as dead. You see, that's supernatural. That's supernatural. That's what grace is. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. And you won't understand it until you receive it. And there's nothing greater than it. You can't trump grace. You can't trump it. Now, we'll end with this. I'm not going to go into the entirety of the passage. But we know, to illustrate this, Jesus speaks of the older son. And what was his reaction? Verse 28, he was angry. And he wouldn't go in. And he came to his father. His father came to him and invited him in. And what does the father say in verse 31? He said unto him, son, you've always been with me, and all that I have is yours. You know what he's saying? You have the same grace. You have the same grace. You should be rejoicing. Your brother was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. It's appropriate that we celebrate this awesome work of God. See, religious people will get mad. Why? They know not God. They'll get mad when somebody who is a harlot or a publican or somebody who doesn't deserve God comes to God. That's what religion does. I told you this before. Religion, spiritual pride, kills people inside and outside the church walls. That's why it's so dangerous. We're to be a people that love, that forgive, that demonstrate grace. I find myself, and I happen to be able to do it by God's grace this morning, praying more and more for my enemies. And sincerely praying for my enemies. And I bless the Lord in saying that. And sometimes your enemies will be in your own house, as Jesus said, you see. Sometimes your enemy will be your son or your daughter. Jesus said it. Why are you surprised by it? He says your enemies will be in your own house. But regardless, they're your son or your daughter. God birthed them through you, at least biologically. And now you are to pray that they are birthed spiritually through him. And if they truly come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, like this younger son, if they truly come to themselves, as it says, if they have a revelation of grace and they realize they're not worthy, man, everything will change. He makes all things new. He makes all things new. Never give up hope. Never give up hope. I want to end with this today. Just some practical things. I'm going to end with a challenge to a certain extent. I want to say this. The fathers, men of God, let me challenge you with these hard questions. All in the spirit of grace as I say them. Do you pray for your children? Question number two, do you pray with your children? Do you read to them the scriptures that Paul says in Timothy made him wise unto salvation? Do you provide a godly example to them? Have you invested in their soul? Let me give you some practical things, and I fall short, far, far short, as a father. I'm sure there's fathers here that are much stronger than I am, but I want to just relate to you some practical things I have done or do with my own children. A Proverbs read. A Proverbs read. We'll say, all right, Jew, let's do a Proverbs read. And we'll open up the Bible, and do you want odds or evens? And he reads the odds, and I read the evens. A Proverbs read. Simple. A group text with a prayer, a spiritual thought, at least for the ones that have phones. You just send them a scripture or a thought or something pointing them to God, letting them know that you love them. Grace at the table, even that's gone out the window. And I've been guilty myself at times in my flesh forgetting to do that because I'm so hungry. Gathering in prayer at the end of the night. Okay, guys, we're going to pray. And by the way, there's always a resistance to that in some way, shape, or form. There will always be a resistance to that, I'm just telling you. You have to go right through that. And there's times I said, kids, forget it, we're not doing it. Because I get so frustrated with all the resistance. But be steadfast, unmovable. Or how about this? Just ask them, how was your walk with God? What have you been reading lately? Have you been praying? Where do you pray? Just have a natural conversation with them. As they age, as they become teenagers and young adults and older adults, you got to approach them a little bit differently. Okay? You got to know how to adjust. I think it's harder for the parents to adjust than it is for the children as they grow. The parents have to adjust. They don't always know how to. Seek wisdom. Ask God, how can I connect with my child who's 20, 30, 40 years old still spiritually? And he'll give you wisdom. Lastly, four things. Listen attentively, which I'm working on. Walk carefully, working on it. Love unconditionally. You know what unconditionally means? No conditions. I love you, but that's conditional. I love you, but you just, that's conditional. There's no conditions in what I just read. None. The only condition was grace. Realize that you're not worthy. Realize that you're not worthy. And when contrition and repentance is demonstrated by that son or by that daughter or that grandchild or that individual, then when you see them a great way off, you run to them and you kiss their neck and you fall upon them and you kill the fatted calf and you rejoice because it's appropriate. Amen? That's the God we serve. One of the most beautiful pictures of reconciliation and grace is what we just read. That's the God we serve. That's why when we sing songs like Great is Thy Faithfulness, if you really start to think about it and start to sing it, yeah, tears will start to flow down. When you realize what you have in our God, what we have in our God, the goodness of our God, the faithfulness, the love, the grace, the mercy, why would you want to leave them? There's no better place. There's no better place. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't the case, I would tell you so. It's amazing. I pray that you have a wonderful Father's Day. I pray that we all grow in grace. Grow in grace, the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and then I'll have Tom come up to close the service. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the opportunity to gather today, to celebrate you, the eternal everlasting Father, and to recognize our earthly fathers here. Physical, spiritual, Lord, there's so many ways we can be a father. So many different ways. Paul the Apostle, so many times referenced the churches that were birthed through him, Lord, through the gospel, Lord, as a father to his children. The Apostle John did the same. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And so we thank you, Lord, for those examples that were before us. Help us to be good examples, to walk with you, to talk with you. Thank you that we belong to you, Lord. And anybody here who may not, God, Holy Spirit, let the conviction fall upon them, pierce their heart. Let them see you're ready to receive them if they would just bow the knee of their heart, repent and believe. In Jesus' name, amen.